Happy Valentine's Day. Today is the day, huh? Could be the best Valentine's Day you ever had. Might be the worst. I don't know. But there's one thing for sure. There is no greater love than the love of God. You believe that? How many of you are married? Raise your hand. How many of you want to be married? Raise your hand. Yeah, no, we get all that kind of stuff out of the way, and it's good. The best Valentine's Day you ever had, the worst you ever had, the whatever you ever had. Thank God for love. Thank God for families and the things that He's brought our way, and they'll disappoint you. Your wife will disappoint you every now and then. Your husband will disappoint you every now and then. Your children, your parents, or what have you. That's part of life. Don't mean you don't love them. Don't mean whatever. But the love of God will always be true. You understand that? The love of God. The love of Jesus Christ is pure and holy and the greatest love on the face of this earth. So, like Angie said, maybe you're thinking you ought to get a song about love. Maybe you think you ought to get a sermon about love, and it is, but it's not. Now, that's clear as mud, isn't it? It is, but it's not. So it is about the love of God, but it not maybe in the form you think. A lot of talk this day and time on the minds of people about when will the world end. And you say, well, that don't sound like Valentine's Day, but we'll get around to where we're going, hopefully, with the Lord's help. When will the world end? Are we living in the last days? And we can go back and look at Scripture and have so many different thoughts and opinions. Predictions are made. The world will end. And they give a date. Many of those things have happened, but it never came true. The world's going to end on such and such a date. And here we are today. The world didn't end. And there's all kinds of predictions out there. There's movies been made about it, books written about it. And one of those movie things at the end of it says, we have been warned. You were warned. Well, you know, there's a little bit of truth in that. We are, through Scripture, warned. We're told through Scripture that Jesus is coming back. That's a fact. We know that. I feel confident in saying that to you today, that Jesus is coming again. I really believe that. And where we get in trouble with all these predictions of this date and that date and all these other things is that we do not know when, is the bottom line. So whatever you feel about all that kind of stuff, you've got a Bible to read. You've got a Holy Spirit to lead you. And you have a Bible to pick up on some of the signs and that kind of thing. But I say with confidence to you on this Valentine's Day that the Lord loves you. And I say with just as much confidence that the Lord Jesus is coming again. And we have been warned through Scripture that He's coming again. And when He does, it'll all be over. And we'll be with Him. Well, will He come today? He could. I don't know. How about next week? Possibly so. How about this year? Maybe. How about 10 years from now? Could be. I do not know the time, but I know He's coming. On the screen, you'll find Mark 13, verse 32. And I'm sure you're familiar with it. It says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. To me, that sums all these predictions up. It sums all the things that could be, might be, this prediction, this interpretation, on and on we go. The Bible says no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, the Father knows exactly when He will look at His Son, Jesus, and say, go get the church. Go get the bride. He knows that time. I do not know that time. And it is my strong belief that others do not know that time either because of this one Scripture. I think that puts it in perspective. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But the promise is there. Jesus is coming again, and also it's clear that we do not know when that will be, even though many people try to predict it. If you look at the next scripture, it's in Revelation 6, and it says, "Then the kings of the earth, the princesses, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains, and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." Over in Revelation, we read that in the end of the world, when it comes, will be a scary time for lost people. For lost people who do not know Jesus, it is a scary time. Many will come face to face with the judge of all mankind, and they won't like that because they're not ready to meet him. They won't be able to hide. You can't get away from it. Now, by contrast, the believers in Jesus Christ, truly born again, genuine followers of Jesus Christ, it's a different story. It's an exciting time. It's a time we should look forward to because we know he is coming again, and we know that we must be ready, and we're going to look forward to when he comes with anticipation. Well, what will happen exactly? What's step 1, 2, and 3? I don't know that. Again, we have a Bible to read, but I know he's coming. When's he coming? I do not know. It'll be when the Father tells the Son to go get the church, his bride, he will come. And for those redeemed people, it's an exciting time. We know we're going to a new place. We're going to be with the Lord forever, so it's exciting. It's a good thing. But for the lost, it is not a good thing. So, where are you at today? Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? Are you living for him? You have no worries then when he comes. If you're not, you have a lot to be worried about. And I invite you to be true with the Lord, to have a true confession, true repentance. That we repent of sin, we turn from sin, and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Master, and we listen to him. So, 2 Timothy 4 on the screen. "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing." Look at the next one with me in Philippians 3:20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So we know where our citizenship is. It is in heaven. "And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So should we long for his appearing? Yes. Should we look forward to it? Yes. Should we have anticipation? Yes. We're going to have a new place to live. We're going to have a new home, so to speak. And he's preparing it for us. In John, it tells us that. Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away." Now, you've heard that probably in your life several times. And I've heard it and read it, and we're familiar with it. But take hold of it this morning. Take hold that he, being Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eye. That's more than just a scripture you hear at a funeral or what have you. Get a hold of what he's talking about. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Now, we like to hear that at a death of a saint, and we know there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, but the old order of things have passed away. Those things that cause confusion, those things that bring harm to mankind, or those bad things or sinful things will be no more. The old order will be gone, and new things will be there for us. Like the preacher said, heaven's a place of no mores. No more what? No more curses, no more deaths, no more sorrow, no more crying, pain or night or hunger or thirst, no more human trafficking, no more sin, no more all the things we could talk about. So he's coming back again. A fact. When? We don't know. But God knows. But the sick will be healed. The struggling will have strength. The dead will rise from the grave. And we'll be with the Lord forever. Something to look forward to. Something to anticipate. Ralph Waldo Emerson was approached by a very frightened man, and he was afraid. He says, "I'm told the world is coming to an end." And Emerson answered him. He said, "Never mind. We can get along without it." When Jesus comes again, this man's statement was, "Never mind. We can get along without it." If you're saved and Jesus comes today, it's hot in here. Y'all hot? No, y'all freezing to death, aren't you? Do what? Feel a little something, just warm. Well, praise the Lord. If you're warm, hallelujah. If you're cold, I'm sorry. If I'm sweating, it'll be okay. We can get along without it. When Jesus comes, the redeemed people of God is going to that new place of heaven. We can do without it. That's a true statement. And I'm thankful that we can get along without it, this earth. There'll be a new home and a new place, a new world, and a new body. We'll get a new body. It'll be a perfect body. It'll be one like Jesus. That's something to think about, too. Some of you folks don't have a good body like me. Some of you just ain't as pretty or handsome, you know. Your hair's not as pretty as mine. And you know, we think about all that body stuff. I'm here to tell you, it don't matter how tall you are, short you are, whatever, how pretty you are. You see, this new body's coming. And it'll be a glorified body for the redeemed people of God. Now, for the saved, for the one who's accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, that's what we're talking about. And it'll be a good thing. You know, Bob Hope, I've watched him a lot. I'm sure you have too. Or now I see you can buy all these videos of Bob Hope. He said this. He said, "Today my heart beat 103,369 times. My blood traveled 168 million miles. I breathed 23,400 times. I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air. I ate 3 pounds of food, drank 2.9 pounds of liquid. I perspired 1.343 pints." I'm in that mode. I gave off 85.3 degrees of heat. I generated 450 tons of energy. I spoke 4,800 words. I moved 750 major muscles. My nails grew 0.01714 inches. And I exercised 7 million brain cells." Boy, I'm tired. Boy, I'm tired after all that. Well, we'll get a new body. It won't get tired. We'll have a perfect body. And one day we're going to get that chance to trade in these old bodies for new ones. 1 John on the screen, chapter 3, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we will know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Philippians 3, again, 20 and 21. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Again, here's the proof that we're getting that new body. We'll be like him. When Jesus arose from the grave, you see, he was perfect. No pains of the wounds in his hands, wrist, feet. It was not there. He even walked through a wall or two. And we can have a body like his. It's coming one day. So we can be thankful for it. You can thank Him through all of eternity for saving you, for giving you a new body. So when He comes, we'll be ready, right? We live in a new place, have a new body. And He's coming for me. There's an old song talks about that. The King is coming, and He's coming for me. Does that excite you? Does it scare you? What does that do for you? To know that the King is coming for you. Okay, it's one thing to say, well, all us Christians, you know, we're going to heaven. That's true. But the King is coming for me. The King is coming for you. Put your name in the blank. Saved by the blood of Christ, living for Him. He's coming for you one day. When? I don't know that day. But He's coming for you. He's coming for me. And He says, I want you to be where I'm at. And I'm preparing that for you. That one day, you will be where I'm at. And it's exciting to Him. It should be exciting to us that He's coming for me. Well, what about those times that I have a bad day? What about those times that I make that mistake? Or what about that time that I feel like, Lord, don't come today because, boy, look, I've messed up today. He's still coming for you. You're living for Him. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you think, well, I'm not worth much today, you're worth something to Him. And you always will be worth something to Him. He's told us through Scripture after Scripture, listen, you're my children, I love you. Back to that Valentine thing. Back to love. There's no greater love than the love of God. There's no greater love than that love that Jesus had when He died on Calvary's cross for my sin, that I deserve hell and you deserve hell because of sin. And Jesus said, I'll take care of that sin debt. I'll die on the cross, Jesus said, and I'll take the punishment and I'll pay the price for your sin. And when we take Him up on the greatest deal that's ever been, when we accept Him as Savior and Lord, when we repent from sin and turn from it and live for Him, He says, you're my child. I'm coming back for you and I love you. Come to be where I'm at. And one day that'll happen. Other religions of the world don't talk much about that, do they? They don't talk about their King or their Savior coming back for them. They don't say much about that. The very idea that God's great plan of salvation and Jesus, His only Son, died for your sin, I'll prove the love of God to you. And He's saying, I'm going to come back for you. I want you to be ready now. I want you to be excited about the things of God because I'm coming back for you. So we need to sign up. We need to sign up for this new home. We need to sign up for this new body. We need to sign up for this place that we'll spend all of eternity with God. Thomas, you remember what he said. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? You probably remember what Jesus said to him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That there's no other way to heaven. It's not with Allah. It's not with Muhammad. It's not with Buddha. It's not with whatever cult you want to talk about. It's in Jesus Christ the Lord. Ever want to get to heaven? You're going to go through Jesus if you get there. And that message needs to be preached around the world. And Luke is going to be doing that in Australia. So pray for him and others around the world. No other name under heaven which you can be saved by other than Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for our sin. Jesus is the one who rose. Jesus is the one who gives the victory. It's not the preacher. It's not the denomination. It is Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the one we're lifting up. That's the one we're talking to people about, is Jesus Christ the Lord. So we need to believe that He is the Son of God. We need to believe he died on Calvary's cross for us and accept him as Lord and Master. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Now you think about that. I doubt that there's a person in here who's not heard that scripture before. Maybe, but I doubt it. You've heard it before. You've heard what I've said here today before. "But no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." So love him. Love him. He loves you. Love him. He died for us. Let's be involved in kingdom work. No greater love than the love that God has for us. I read a story here about a doctor back years ago, and he made house calls. And the story says that the man was really sick, and he felt like he was going to die. And he asked the doctor, he said, "Doctor, I'm afraid to die. I know you're a Christian. Can you tell me what lies on the other side?" And the old doctor said, "Well, I don't know how all that's going to work." And he said, "What do you mean you don't know? You're a Christian. You're supposed to know what's on the other side." And about that time, the doctor had been standing there at the door, and his dog came with him, and he was standing there, and he started scratching the door and whining, the story says, and the doctor opened the door. Said the doctor's dog ran in and said he leaped up on him, he licked him and jumped up and down in front of him. And the doctor thought suddenly, he smiled and he looked to the patient. He said, "Did you notice my dog? He's never been in this room before. He didn't know what's on the inside. He knew nothing except his master was in here. And when the door opened, he sprang in without fear. Now, I know little of what's on the other side of death, but I do know one thing. I know my master's there, and that's enough for me. And when the door opens, I'll pass through, not with fear, but with gladness." Jesus is coming again. When? I don't know. Why don't you know? Because the scripture says no man knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But we know he's coming again. The greatest love mankind has ever known. And it didn't start with a box of chocolates. It didn't start with the flowers and all that's wonderful. Please don't write me letters and say you're not a romantic and you don't like that. It didn't start with all that. However many chocolates you can eat, have at it. I hope you get roses if you want roses. But the greatest love that's ever been told about, it's ever been experienced, is the love of God. It is pure, it is true, and it will always be there, no matter what. No matter what emotions you have today, up on the top of the mountain, down in the valley, in a dark hole, or up here someplace, just as happy as you can be. No matter what the doctor says about this disease or that disease. No matter what the checkbook looks like, high or low. No matter what your kids do or don't do. The love of God is steady. It's always there. It will always be there. And I encourage you today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I encourage you to love him back and be involved in his work, because he loves you. Well, you don't know how I acted this week. I don't have to. You don't know my thought pattern I had when this happened or that happened. I don't need to. Jesus already knows it, and he loves you. So it's real simple. We try to make it too complicated, but we shouldn't. It's real simple. If you're here today with sin in your life, Jesus loves you. And he asked that you would repent of that sin and live for him. If you're here and you're a Christian and you know you're saved and you're struggling with this area of life, Jesus loves you. And he wants you to take hold. He wants you to take ownership of whatever that struggle is and admit it and talk to him about it and say, "Here I am, Lord. I know you love me and I need help in this area." And begin a journey. Begin a track to healing and wholeness, whatever it may be. The greatest love is the love of God. And he loves you no matter where you find yourself this day. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we live in a complicated world. We live, Father, in a sinful world. And we have all sorts of theories going around. And we have all kinds of predictions going around about even you. When you'll come again and this, that, or the other. Thank you that you're coming. Thank you that the first time you came as that little babe in a manger. And you grew up and performed miracle after miracle. And you died on Calvary's cross for us. You took our sin. The sin of the world was upon you. And we're thankful you arose on the third day with victory over hell, death, and the grave. And you're waiting for us today, no matter if we're lost or saved. You're waiting with arms stretched out wide, saying, "If you're lost, would you come to me? I love you. I want to save you. I want a relationship that's pure and real with you." And Christians, you're saying to us today, "Oh, if you could just get a hold of how much I love you. This problem or this issue in life, we'll overcome it together. Because I know who you are and I want you to know who I am and I love you. And here, let me help." So Lord, we've got a lot to pray about. In families and things we deal with, in the world, and all that we face. But oh, I'm so thankful today that the love of God is the greatest love ever known to man. No matter what theory, no matter what lies the devil brings, there is a God. He's sitting on his throne today. And the Savior of the world is sitting at his right hand interceding for us. And we thank you for your love. Now God, whatever we need from you today, may we come and ask. May we be open and honest. And realize how much you love us. Now help us to love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.